Welcome to the Pussy Parlor Podcast. I am your host, Kitty Velour. I am a pole dance artist, glittery showgirl, and a pole dance and floor work instructor. Here at the parlor, I interview new guests each week, including pole dancers, strippers, showgirls, sex workers, and cabaret creatures of all kinds. Our parlor guest today is Layla, aka Cutie Whippingham. She is a queer pole performer, choreographer, and instructor. Layla is the founder of Black Stage Pole, which is a project that aims to showcase BIPOC pole dancers in the UK to counter the thin white pole narrative. In today's episode, we talk about stripping in Brighton, the culture of university pole dance societies, and performing and working with big brands such as Red Bull and Nike. Welcome to the Pussy Parlor, Layla. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So I wanted to start at the beginning. How did you first get into pole dance?
So I got into pole dance when I was 19. I'd just gone through a breakup and my friend was showing me this documentary about women who are deemed to have non-conventional body types, and they were pole dancing as a form of empowerment. And I remember seeing it and just thinking like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually going to do that. Like that sounds like such a good idea. And like just seeing how the women had this like transformation of like feeling like a bit low to like feeling amazing. And I was like, I really want that for myself. So like, I think a week after I turned 19, I was online like searching pole dance classes near me. I found pole dance class, which is in the middle of nowhere in Sidcup. Sorry if you live in Sidcup, but that is, to me, that was the middle of nowhere. And I just went along, like I got my little, I think it was £60 for a term, which on reflection, I'm like, that is so cheap. But yeah, I was just like, I went to my first class. I was hooked. I absolutely loved it. It became my life. Like, I just fell in love there and then.
Amazing. Was stripping after this or around the same time?
So stripping was actually a year after. So I think I started pole in, or maybe a little bit more than a year. I started pole in maybe September 2014. And then I went to uni in September 2015. And I started stripping in November, specifically like the 18th of November 2015. Yeah, that's when I started.
Yes, I think we're like similar age. How old are you?
25. Well, I had to think about that because, you know, lockdown, I don't know what year it is anymore.
Yeah, I'm gonna be 25 in 3 weeks. Well, when this podcast comes out, I'll be 25.
Oh, 25 club.
Yes. How did you get into stripping then? Like, what was the process? Did you have to go for an audition? Why did you decide to do that?
Well, it's really weird, but from like the age of 15, I was like, yeah, I really want to try stripping one day. And I don't know, at the time, I went to an all-girls school, so people were just kind of like, yeah, me too, blah, blah, blah. I felt like people like actually didn't like go, but yeah, from the age of 15 I was like, I really want to. And then I started pole, and like people would kind of be like, oh, would you ever strip? And I think I was like, yeah, probably, maybe, I don't know. And I remember like when I was going to uni, I think the main reason I didn't start stripping when I was 19 was because I was living at home with my like mom, so I don't think that would have worked. But when I went to uni, I was looking up like the strip clubs near my uni that I could go to, and like the uni pole dance society, so that I would like do both. And I found two clubs. One of them was Platinum, one of them was Grace. And I was going to audition for both of them, but for some reason I just ended up walking into Grace on like a Thursday night and being like, yeah, I'd like to start working here. They're like, oh, can you come back with your ID and stuff? And then I went back to campus, which is actually like a long journey because I got the bus back to campus, got my ID, came back, gave it to them. They scanned it all in. And then they were like, yeah, you need to be on the floor at like 8 or something. And I was like, what, right now? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I don't have anything on me. Like, I'm not even ready. And so I was like, can I start tomorrow? So I actually started on Friday, which is like the busiest day. So I came back the next day and they were like, okay, so like you can start. What's your dancer name? And I was like, huh? What? They're like, have you ever danced before? And I was like, yeah, yeah, I did contemporary. They're like, no, but have you ever danced before? And I was like, oh, like, no, I've never. And they're like, okay, so we're going to give you the name Paige because I see that that's your middle name. And I was like, cool. So that was my name when I started working at Grace. But yeah, I worked there for 3 years, had such a great time, met some of the best people I've ever met, like my best friends. So yeah, I've worked there for 3 years before moving back to London. And then when I dance now, I dance in London. And I haven't been back there since I graduated.
Amazing. That must have been quite scary being thrown into, you know, dancing straight away and not knowing what to wear. Like, what kind of club was it? Did you have to wear like lingerie? Was it like a dress?
So basically, you could just wear, there was like no rule, but it's more like the judgment that you'd get if you're wearing like something that was like, nah, like you need to take that off. So there wasn't like an actual rule, because I know in some places like before midnight you wear like a dress and like sometimes you can't wear pleasers and things like that. But this club was kind of like very loose. They're like, yeah, wear whatever you want. And I remember coming in my first day on that Friday and I didn't have pleasers. And I personally don't wear heels. I've only ever owned one pair of heels in my life. I live in trainers. So I brought my prom heels. And then this girl was like, no, you need to get some pleasers. So I Amazoned like my first pair of pleasers, those clear acrylic ones. I still have them, to be honest. They're filthy. But yeah. Got those and I felt like my look, because your look does just grow over time though, because especially with the club, sometimes there's a vibe or like trends that go on with the club, so people kind of like go with that, you know what I mean?
Yeah I think when you first start as well, the whole outfit thing can be like quite overwhelming. Yeah. And I used to really not like the long dresses, like the ones that had to be super long, because they were just really annoying. And like when you were on stage trying to dance, they would just get in the way, and it was just like, let's just be naked.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like you grow over time, you find your own style. Like, I remember when I first started out, I used to wear the weirdest things. Like, on reflection, I'm like, what the fuck is that? I used to have this ponytail, this like straight black ponytail. So I used to have like my hair slicked and then have this black ponytail. And then I'd wear like a lot of like white lacy things. And then as I evolved, everything became like strappy and like rhinestoned. So now I'm just like completely like a different person. So I also have braids now as well. So before it was like the long straight ponytail and the white lace. Now it's like strap braids.
Love it. It sounds fierce.
Yeah, I really do feel fierce.
Yeah, I think you kind of come into your own. You find out what works for your body. And did you do stage shows there?
Yeah, so we had our stage shows. So obviously the DJ calls you to the stage and you've got two songs. I think they're capped at like, were they capped at 2 minutes or three in this specific place? So you do like two songs. First song, you can have your clothes on. Second song is topless. So everyone has their little kind of like vibe, everyone gets into it, and like depending on how many girls there are in the night is like depends on it determines how much you go on stage. So if there's a lot of girls, you have less time going on stage because it calls the girls in on rotation. But if there's less girls, so there's like five girls, you're literally like like relaying to the stage because like you're getting called so much. But if you're in a dance, you don't have to go, because you have, when you go to the till, you'd be like, I'm in a dance, and they put you on in a dance. And they don't have to go on the stage then. But yeah, I did love the stage. I probably went for it. I was doing the most, like, I'm trying to think, what is the wildest thing that I've done on the stage? I don't even know. I was doing the most though, like everything and anything. I was doing it all.
You were going for it.
Yeah, I was probably going for it. The floor work, like the kips. It was, yeah, I think I was doing too much at one point, but you know, I was really having a good time.
How did you find dancing in London in comparison?
Oh my gosh, so much better. Because obviously Brighton's like a small seaside town. It's not very diverse racially, not compared to London. So when you work in London, like, London? if you work in London, what? the clubs are like, well, yeah, the clubs are like much more like modern, cleaner, like the club I worked in specifically when I was working in Brighton was, I guess, like quite run down in comparison to like when I work in London. So like I feel like you get like proper changing room, like lockers, like there's more girls, there's more like non-white girls as well, more non-white customers as well. Because when I was working in Brighton, I got very few like non-white customers, but now you get so many different types of customers, which I really appreciate, because it's just a bit dead, like, and it's just always like the same white guys that you don't like. So it's nice because people come from everywhere when you're in London, especially because like when you're working in East as well, like you're, well, where I was is quite near the All Street Station. So like, I feel like people come from all over.
How many girls were like on in the session, and did you find it easier to hustle with customers being in a bigger club, or did you have to change the way that you did your dances?
I think I definitely changed. Also, like from like 2018 when I moved back, I kind of like developed like a new confidence. Because I think after graduating and then being like asked to perform in places, I kind of like spent so much time perfecting my stage shows, my look, so that when I got to London, it was like I was a completely different dancer. I think like working in Brighton actually prepared me for working in London, because I feel like London is actually quite the deep end in comparison to working in a small seaside town. And because I'm also from London, like I find it easier to talk to people, because when people are like from Brighton, then they're like, they've not really like been around like that much, or where I was working anyway. So it's easier to relate to people. And people know what's going on. You could talk to people about like where you grew up and like maybe they grew up in the same place. Like I found that I had a lot more in common with customers living in London. So they were easier to talk to. And it's also my hometown, so I felt more comfortable. And then the stage show had evolved anyway. And because the facilities were better, the poles were actually better. Like where I first started working, the pole didn't spin. So when I worked and the pole was spinny, there's like a little more like zing to it. There's a little more you can do. So like the whole thing was quite transformative. So I was like a different dancer. Yeah.
When you were working and stripping, were you also at uni? Were you studying at the same time?
Yeah, so from 2015 to 2018, I moved to Brighton to go to uni and I started working there. And then, yeah, I worked there for 3 years while I was at uni. So, yeah, I did both at the same time.
That's quite hard because it's a lot to juggle. How did you balance between, like, your studies and then, like, working nights and all of that?
Oh, my gosh. I remember, like, we had Yik Yak at uni and I remember being like, yeah, just got home. 7 a.m. still made it to my 9 a.m. lecture. Like it was crazy. I don't know what I was like. I feel like now at 25, I physically don't have the energy to do those kind of things. Like I'd be dead. Like I don't know how I survived. Like on reflection, I'm like, I really did a lot, because I'd be like, I studied psychology, so it's quite an intense course. We had a lot of labs and we had like coursework every Wednesday. It was always a lot of words and like a lot of research, so I had so much to do. But then I would also like, you have to work a minimum of 3 nights a week, and I first started at 5 and I had to drop down to the 3. And then in second year, when, because I was also in the pole society at my uni, in second year all the people that were in charge of the pole society had graduated, so I was like, shit, I don't want the society to like crumble, because literally no one's applying for the roles on the committee. I applied for a role on committee so I could help keep the society going. So as vice president of the whole society, I was doing my uni stuff and I was also working, and it was just very hard. Like sometimes I'd have to like take quite long breaks, because I found that like my mental health was really suffering, because I would be like working, and sometimes when it was like really, really dead, like my mental health would get really bad, because I was like, oh my god, I'm just here for like hours and like there's been like no customers, or like no one's spending any money, and I'm so frustrated because I could be sleeping and I have a lab tomorrow, and I'm just, yeah. So I was like spiraling, so I'd have to take long breaks, but it was cool because they actually let me do that, like take breaks and come back.
Yeah, that's a lot if you're...
It was a lot, yeah.
I think people don't realize that with stripping, there's a lot of nights where you're just sitting there waiting, yes, for customers, yes, and it's so long and boring at times.
Oh my god, yeah. And for some reason my club, I'm sure the manager was like, I don't know what was going on there, but he would just come in winter in a long coat, yeah, and gloves. Cool, it's winter, it's cold outside, you're wearing gloves and like a coat, and then he'd open all the doors for the airflow and turn on the aircon. Bear in mind, you're in your lingerie, so we were all freezing, and I would just get so angry because I can't actually like be a nice person when I'm cold. I get so like not hangry, but because you know when like you get hangry when you're eating, but it's like, I don't know, that the cold equivalent. But I was just like, it was actually, it felt like torture. So I was just be there like shivering, and I didn't want to talk to any customers because I was like my teeth were chattering, and I'd be there for like ages, and then getting home and my bae was just like asleep, and then I'd like missed out on like time I could spend with her because I was actually like just shivering in the club. Those are the things that people miss.
Yeah, especially when you're not wearing much, you want to be warm. And when you've been sitting for a while, and like, even if a customer does come in, you kind of like need like a warm up. You don't want to just like bounce up and be like, hi, would you like to go for a dance?
Yes.
You got have to get into it.
Yeah, it got to a point when I was just talking to customers so that I could wear their coats. I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's such a nice coat. Do you mind if I put it on? I'm just like, it's just sit in their coat like, yeah, it's cool. You don't even have to go for a dance. I'm just happy like with the warmth of this coat. Oh my God.
Oh, but yeah, the struggle that strippers go through.
I know, there's honestly so much.
What did you learn or gain most from your time stripping?
You know what? I learned a lot about my body and like its power. So I guess I always kind of knew, but like I fully realized when I was stripping, like how much you can control someone's gaze and play with like their imagination and like their thoughts and like arouse them and make them attracted to you through how you move your body. And I feel like I learned how to have my own style in that. So it's kind of like a manipulation in a way, but like a sexy manipulation. So I learned how to do my best, sexiest manipulation by being a stripper. And I feel like I couldn't have gained that experience anywhere else. Like there is a certain sensuality to the flow that I do that I definitely could not have got if I didn't work for like 5 years stripping. Like it just wouldn't have come about. So that is something I really take away, because it's also the way you walk in the world. Like knowing the power that I have, I hold myself differently. I have held myself differently ever since. So the way I walk around in the world, the way I navigate spaces, the like things I'm willing to accept and willing to take are a lot different now. Like I have so much respect and like love for myself as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think through stripping, you really learn clear-cut boundaries and what you want and what you don't want. And like you said, it reflects in your everyday life and you take those qualities that you learn with you. And there is a certain kind of confidence that you gain from stripping that you just can't learn anywhere else.
Definitely, yeah.
Jumping back to your uni stuff, did you do pole competitions with your pole society? And what was that like?
So we would do IUPDC every year. So you usually have like regionals and nationals. It was amazing. Like I think, I didn't even know where to start. So my first competition was in, I think, 2016. And we, obviously, you got your group routine, your solos and all of that. And I was doing group. And we placed second in nationals, actually. And our advanced won, like, first place. It was just wonderful. I'd never, prior to, like, starting uni, I'd never performed pole before, and I definitely never competed. So when they're like, competition, I kind of threw myself in, like, yeah, because, like, why not? I'm a competitive person. Like, I love that. I don't know if it's the Virgo in me, but just, like, anything to do with, like, competing and being on stage, then I'm just down. So, yeah, I had my first pole showcase when I was at the uni. But yeah, the competition, the first one we ever did, amazing. Second time, we didn't make it to nationals that time, but that was when I was vice president, so I actually had to like oversee all the arrangements for travel and stuff, and that gave me a good like, what's the word, it gave me some good experience when it comes to like planning pole competitions and showcases and things, because that's what I had to do in that year. And then in the third year was the most amazing time of all. The society had grown so much. We were winning like awards within our uni for like how good the society was. And then we had like these inter-society auditions for the competition like places for the solos. So I actually one to be like put forward for advanced soloist. So I did that and we had like an amazing group routine. And then the other soloists were also very, very good. And we all wore red and we were just like absolutely on fire in 2018. 2017, 2018 was really our year. Like we did regionals, which I think was at Imperial, and we absolutely killed it. Like I've never seen anything like it. It was just like chef kiss. We were just such like a tight team. Like I'd never had like a pole community like that before, but we were all just like loved each other and we were just all like, oh, just the feeling and yeah. But so we did that, and then we also went on to compete, went in one of our university's competitions, which is a really, really big competition between every single dance society. So like ballet, contemporary, you've got soloists, you've got troupes and all of this stuff. And it was like a huge, huge event. And I won the whole thing in 2018. And like, I remember just like my partner crying in the audience. And then like, I, when they were handing me the award, I made like my whole society get on stage and we were all like hugging each other and crying. And the judge was like, oh, these poor girls just love each other so much. Oh, we actually just, yeah, competing is, it really brings you together with your like your group or whoever you're competing with, your team, and like really like is a community thing. And I think it's so beautiful. I feel like I've been talking for ages, but
no, so many moments. Good. Yeah, I think it's quite a unique experience because to anyone that's listening that's not from the UK, so like universities in the UK have pole societies, which I don't think they do in America and stuff like that. So I think it's quite a unique thing to hear. And I remember like pole societies wasn't really that much of a thing. And now I feel like it's a really big thing. And I think for a while it was all you had to be pole fitness, but now it's expanded and some societies have a special person that just does more like heels kind of stuff, which I think is really cool. But yeah, like the experience that you had with you kind of really working together and really bonding through that experience, I think is really specific to universities, and being in that like pole society yeah. bubble is quite nice.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's definitely like a culture. Like they have like trips, and like when you go to competitions, you're like traveling like a long way together and staying in hotels. Like it's such like a beautiful bonding experience. I remember when I first came into the society, it was very like pole fitness. I remember when it was my time to be on committee, I actually met with the student union because I was like, I'm not having like our bodies policed. Like there was this rumor that you couldn't show your gluteal fold. I was like, look, I want to just scrap this gluteal fold thing. We're not doing that. I want to be wearing a thong. I think I was the first person to ever wear pleasers in the actual society as well. Like, I was like, no, we're not doing this gluteal fold thing. We're going to wear thongs. You can wear pleasers if you want. Like, when we became yes. community, we were just like, nah, scrap all of that stuff. Like, we're not doing that. We're doing, like, whatever you want to do, whatever you like your body to do. That's what we're doing.
I think it's really important. I think at a time it was something to do with the funding from, like, the universities, and that they didn't want to, like, fund something that was, like,
yeah,
any way related to stripping or anything like that. Yeah. But now I think they're a lot more chill and it's a lot more like open-minded.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just reflecting on like funding and stuff. Like we had so many fights with the SU because they were just like try and like give away our room booking because we basically didn't have a space and we had this old meeting room and we had like X stages and that's how we do it. We had absolutely no funding or no help from the society, from like the student union society thing. And they would literally like, it was like such like an uphill battle with them all the time. Like they would give away our room to like hackathon and then like make people like, or allow people to have like parties, and then like there'll be like smashed glass on the floor and stuff when we went in for like our society thing. And then I ended up just bringing my own personal hoover to hoover the room before we put the poles up because I was like, I'm not having this. Like it's just, it was always such a struggle with them. And then I remember they refused to fund one of our showcases, but then they like funded the Harry Potter Society like so much money to like go to like Harry Potter World. And I was like, are you joking? We were literally asking you for a third of that. And then like, are you taking the piss? Like we had such problems with them. It was only like when like I wasn't on committee anymore and the person who was in charge of the SU stuff like moved on, that we started to get, we actually had to become a fitness society. So we had to join sports instead of being with dance in order to actually get funding and stuff. which is really weird because surely it would be the other way, no? Like, I don't know, but yeah. Because we were part of dance before, we were just getting shit. And then when we moved to the sports world, they were like, oh my gosh, yes, we're going to give you all of this money. And they still allowed us to be very, like, sexually free and, like, literally do whatever we want. But they would just give us money and, like, include us and we'd win awards and things like that. It's just weird, like, how that operated. But sorry, when you said the thing about funding and stuff, I just remember all of the fights that we used to have. I remember CCing my mom into these emails with the society, like, coordinator for the, like, funding. Like, oh, this prick. Oh, like, yeah, these fights that we used to have. It's just terrible.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that because that's definitely something that I've had heard, like, in the past that they were a bit choosy about who they were going funding to and, like, yeah. Weren't that keen on pole dance. And then that's probably why lots of pole societies had to, like, legitimize themselves to be fitness so they could exactly. get, like, the support that they needed, which is just complete bullshit.
Terrible.
I would love to talk to you a little bit about you being such a big advocate for the LGBTQ+ community, and I'd love for you to talk about, like, why it's so important to you and what we, as myself and the listeners, can do to support that.
Yeah, of course. So the community is, like, obviously the LGBTQIA+ community is a very marginalized community. We have been since, like, forever, really. Well, since, like, pre-colonialism. And yeah, we do experience, like, a disproportionate amount of violence. So there's that. And then on top of that, like, when you're also Black or a person of colour and you identify as LGBTQIA+, then it adds even more, like, stigma or even more, like, of a, like, a marginalised layer to your already marginalised identity. So as someone that is also Black and queer, I think, obviously, I've seen firsthand, like, what our community goes through in order to, like, survive, in order to just actually exist. And it's a lot. And I think it's important to have spaces that are safe. Like, I've spent, like, as soon as I got into, like, an age where I was able to, like, party and express my sexuality freely, I was always hanging out with, like, in the Black POC queer scene. So that's always been, like, my life. So when it comes to pole, I always wanted that to be, like, integrated. So when I'm doing pole, I want it to be, like, a known thing that I'm Black and queer first. So I wanted to create a space where people like me can enjoy pole and feel like the different layers of their identity are understood, and the things that are threats to their existence are also understood.
How have you found your experience with the pole industry? Because the pole industry can be very white, cis, like, thin bodied. How have you found that, like, navigating?
You know what? Me personally, I know it's hard because, like, navigating any space as someone who is Black or a person of colour or LGBTQIA is hard anyway. So I just naturally expect that the pole industry would be the same. From what I've seen, I do distance myself from, like, I guess, this place that is so, like, white, cis, thin. I do distance myself from that because it just doesn't really interest me. So I, like, create my own space. I like to carve out a space for myself and who I am within pole. So I'm not trying to fit into anyone else's box or anyone else's space that wasn't made for me anyway. I'm trying to be me, and me, by being me, creates my own space.
Yeah, I love that. Just have to kind of be authentically yourself. And if there isn't a space for you, just, like, create one, be a pioneer, do your own thing. I think that's really, really important. What is it like being a teacher, a pole teacher, going from student to teacher?
So, well, I think after I finished, like, advanced at, like, MBA dance before I went to uni, I took an instructor training course. And then when I got to the university, I was, like, teaching there a little bit. And then, like, being hired as an actual teacher, I remember Kelechi offering me, like, or asking me to become a teacher, like, way before I actually became a teacher. But I think I had to, like, get the courage to be like, yes, because it's just like, like, being a teacher, I don't know, it just felt quite scary. Like, I don't know why, like, people, like, watching you and, like, listening to you, I don't know what it is about that just made me like, just was very terrifying at first. But then, like, and I couldn't think of anywhere better to teach. Just, oh, it's wonderful. Like, Kelechi's amazing. Like, she's the best teacher I've ever had. So the standards are just so high. And I love that because you just know that you're doing a good job and that you're doing well. And it's just such a good vibes place to teach as well. So the energy is fantastic. And I always feel amazing after teaching. And especially the way my Sundays go. And my final class is like, it's like the end of the week. And it's such a high to always end on because those students have been there the longest. They're my sexy poor intermediates. So it's just like, oh, it's just so worth it, like, honestly. So it went from kind of feeling like so scary being asked to teach because you're like, like, people are going to listen to me and like you're watching me. And then now it's like, yeah, I feel fantastic at the end of the week. I love teaching.
I think teaching can be so rewarding, but it is quite scary when you start because it's this new kind of responsibility of you're in charge of the space and you have to like keep up everyone's energy and people are relying on you. But then when people are like loving it and enjoying themselves and like bossing new moves, that is such a good feeling knowing that you like guided them to that place. So yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. And there's something about seeing your students like their progress from like week one to like, I don't know, week six, if you're doing like a 6 week term, like it's just beautiful. And I'm actually their biggest fan. I'm like, you guys, you're amazing. Like, I actually love them so much. So yeah, it's great.
You did this collaboration with Nike on Instagram. I wanted to ask you a little bit about that and like how that came about.
So in, I think, 2018, I performed at Red Bull Music Festival. So I performed a series of solos on the Red Bull stage and it was sensational, like the lighting, the music, the staging was fantastic. Like, honestly, one of the best stages I've ever been on in my life. And there, I think that's what like set off my, I guess, pole career, because a lot of people reached out to me from that event. I got a lot of opportunities. So one person that reached out was actually someone that works in relationships at Nike. So from 2018 to 2020, I was receiving a lot of gifts from them, like a lot of like really like big packages, which is really nice. And then they reached out to me about Blackstage and like wanting to support and like do some editorials on me, which I was like, yeah, of course. And yeah, I think that like doing that music festival performance really like changed the trajectory of my life. Like, I got so many fantastic opportunities from that, and now I'm just so thankful that I did that.
Yeah, it sounds like it was like your big break and where all the opportunities kind of stemmed from. Tell me a little bit more about Blackstage, and for people that don't know what that is, can you like explain it to them?
Yeah, so Blackstage is essentially a project which aims to showcase Black people and people of colour who pole dance. So we are aiming to like actually create physical opportunities for people to perform as like Black and POC people, just to show up in the world and perform as pole dancers. And what this really means for me is like a space for the community I know and love to pole dance, because I'm someone that spends a lot of time in the like QC BPOC scene. And that's where I've always been. So when I perform a lot, I perform there. I know there's a lot of people who love to pole dance who are also part of the same community. So I'd like to just provide a lovely stage there and continue that kind of work of creating safe spaces. Because like when we look at like every industry, pretty much is very, very white dominated. And pole is like that, but shouldn't be. And I want to create a space where Black people and people of color just feel really like able to like show up as themselves and be themselves and be free and express themselves. So it's all about like performing and just like highlighting our existence in the UK. So yeah, that's what that's all about. Obviously, we can't do physical performances right now because of COVID, and I find it quite difficult to like do performances online because it's just like not the same for me. So I don't know if we'll do one that's online, but yeah, I want to get up and into the theatre as soon as.
And do you plan to do like shows on a regular basis then with it?
Yeah,
And how does it work in terms of, do you like pick the people that perform, or do they apply, or what's your plans for it?
So I do going back and forth about, do I do applications or do I pick people? And I'm thinking for the first one, I might pick people and then do applications for the second one, because maybe I'll have more spaces, because I'm not going to do it that big to start. So I can just kind of like gauge how the first showcase is going to be, and then we'll open up applications. But hopefully there won't be too much of a long gap between the two, so that people don't feel like they missed out on like the biggest opportunity ever, because I want it to grow.
Yeah, you could always do it a bit of both. So you could choose some people and then have some applications. Yeah. So, you know, it's like a bit mix and match. But yeah, that sounds really cool. Really excited for you to do that. We definitely need more shows, more poll shows in general anyway. Yeah. I also agree with you about online stuff not being the same. Yeah. I just don't, like, I haven't really done any online shows. It's just not the same energy, because you can't like feel that response from the audience, and it's just super weird. Yeah. I just can't get into it.
Yeah, I really struggle.
I'd like to take us into the love, learn and dream section of the podcast. And the first question I've got for you is, what do you love most about pole dancing?
So what I love most about pole dancing is, I really love the untouchable, like, sexual power. So there's nothing like that. I feel like when you're pole dancing, or when I'm pole dancing, I feel this kind of like, I feel really unattainably gorgeous. And I feel like there's kind of like this distance between me and the audience, but also like a relationship there. But it's kind of like at my own, I guess, on my own terms. So I kind of create this like this magical thing, and then people get to kind of like enjoy it from afar and enjoy its beauty. And it's just that, it's that for me.
Yeah.
It's like a high that drugs could never give you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think it's nice sometimes to have that separation between you and the audience, because then you feel really like you're in your own space, and like they get to admire that, like admire you being your authentic self in like a really like safe kind of way.
Exactly, yeah.
And the next question I have is, what is the biggest lesson you've learned along your journey?
So the biggest lesson I've learned along my journey, I think I used to doubt my excellence so much. And as a Black woman, like, society will always try and bring you down and make you feel like you're less than. And pole really kind of unleashed my ability to like shine unapologetically through my Black feminine excellence.
Yes, I love that. And the dream question, in a world where you had unlimited budget, unlimited access to any venue or place, and no health or safety restrictions, what would you do in your dream routine?
Oh my.
And you can go like full wild with your imagination for this one.
Oh my gosh, like, if there's no budget, I'm doing like an extreme vanity project. Like, the set design, I think this would be what I'm spending most money on. Like, creating this kind of like neon lights, corrugated steel, like smoke machine.
Yeah.
Oh, and a beautiful outfit. Like, amazing. Like, want to look snatched. Like, maybe even like some latex. I don't know. Like, amazing. The aesthetics would be fantastic. And then I guess because I have unlimited money, so maybe I'd like actually have my Rainbow Marchenko, because I'd be training so often. So yeah, it'd be like an amazing routine.
You in like, I'm imagining you in like a Rainbow Marchenko with like a massive rainbow neon sign in like multicolored latex. I think that would be amazing.
Oh my gosh, yes. I'm trying to think what else I'd involve.
I know, it's quite a big question. It's something like that could really go anywhere.
Yeah, maybe I'd be eating some food as well. Yeah. Eating some food while on a pole. Yeah. Eating some food off the pole, who knows? Maybe the pole will be made of food.
Yeah. Maybe you can just eat the pole.
Oh, yeah, at the end. Sounds wonderful.
Ah, love it, love it. Thank you so much for today. It's been really, really cool talking to you. Where can we find you online?
So you can find me online on Instagram at cutiewhippingham. That's cutiewhippingham. @PPINGHAM. So that's my main. And you can also find Blackstage at BLXCKSTAGE. And that's where I'm at mostly on those two.
Fabulous.
Or you can also find me on Twitter and TikTok at QTWhip. So just QTWhipping in without the whipping in bit. So QTWhip, two P's.
I'll put it all in the show notes anyway, so we can find you there. And we're going to hop on over to the bonus section now. But to our listeners, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today at the Pussy Parlor. If you're left wanting more, we have extra pussy episodes on Patreon, where you get extended interviews with bonus questions. Just search for Kitty Velour Patreon. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at The Pussy Parlor. That's pussy with an X, PXSSY, because we're not allowed the word pussy on Instagram. The tragedy. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. It really helps support the pod. I'll be back next week with a brand new guest. Stay filthy and stay fabulous. See you soon.